This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Matt Spiegel is my favorite talk show host, sports talker from Chicago.
You know, sometimes I have to hear, and I don't know if it's you guys. It might be more other people. I won't say names, Angelo, right? But this guy is an unbelievable coordinator. The fact that he doesn't get respect from our radio station blows my mind. It blows my mind. And I know you work at the radio station too, so I'm not even going to say anything about you.
Angelo, thanks for squeezing in time. Now maybe my favorite thing is you and Danny getting to know each other.
Matt, do you have a hernia?
No, I don't.
Because you've been carrying this Danny for a while now.
It's true.
You better get it checked out. I think you might have gotten a hernia from carrying him so long.
I'm dragging him down, Angelo. I just worried about all the losers on the Eagles who haven't won a Super Bowl.
Oh, here you go again. Thank God I never had a co-host like you, Danny.
Nick Sirianni. Nick, congratulations.
Hey, thanks, Angela. You know, hey, I know what I said on Saturday, and that's in good fun too. I enjoy coming on this show and talking to you guys.
Nick Sirianni used to shout out Angelo Cataldi at press conferences. That's the power of the radio voice. That is Angelo Cataldi. That man, the longtime morning host at WIP in Philly, is wonderfully on this show. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. And Lawrence Holmes is on vacation. I got Mark Grody with me. So it's Spiegs and Mark Grody. And right now, Angelo joins us on the Score Hotline. Angelo, how are you, sir? Nice to talk to you.
Matt, welcome to Philadelphia, the happiest place on earth. What a happy place this is. I think this might be the one week we don't, you know, do all the crazy stuff we normally do. We're just, the whole city is on cloud nine. It's been that Super Bowl victory was one of the greatest things that ever happened to our city.
So let's talk about that. There's a few things that I know you're happy about, but let's start there. With the Eagles. Did you see this coming? Angelo, that dominance. It's one of the most surprising vibes that I've ever felt in the middle of a Super Bowl is like, wow, this is actually happening. They're just going to beat the bejesus out of them like it's the Redskins and the Bills or something, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I really saw this coming. Here's how much I saw it coming, Matt. I went public before the season, keeping in mind the Eagles had completely collapsed at the end of last year, and I predicted they'd win 5 games this year, and Nick Sirianni would get fired. and the annals of terrible predictions, that's got to be up there when a team goes on to win a Super Bowl, doesn't it?
But, you know, if the Eagles start the season I'll just say 1-2. The Sirianni talk is going to start again. Is he still on thin ice? Like, I feel I hate to ask that question a couple days after the Super Bowl, but I got to imagine if things don't go well, he's the first guy that everybody's going to be eliminating again.
Well, they figured out a way to Sirianni-proof this Eagles team.
They took
the offense away from, gave it to Kellen Moore. They took the defense and gave it to Vic Fangio, Michael Clay's special teams, and Sirianni stands on the sideline and plays the role of the village idiot. And the fact of the matter is that it worked, because you saw at the end when they threw the Gatorade on him at the Super Bowl, his players do love him. I mean, I never have. Most of the city never has, but his players do. And I guess in this role, you know, it's kind of like the overseer that really doesn't do that much. He's okay. I guess he could do that part of it. But you're right. I mean, the first time anything goes awry, they're not going to look at Hurt. They're not going to look at Barkley. They're going to look at this guy. And they're going to go, you know, he's never really struck me as being all that bright. And he isn't. That's the.
What a great life, though, Angelo. What a great life. Like, he gets to get away with being a dummy and going to a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl and being a dummy. What a life.
Well, the cut you played where he called me out, that was 2 years ago, just before I retired. And he was calling me out about a guy named Jonathan Gannon, who blew the Super Bowl in the second half, just lying down for Mahomes to just run over him, four scores, four possessions. And then he never apologized. He never came out afterwards, went, well, you know what, you had a point about Gannon, he's a moron. No, he never said that, right? Now they brought in Fangio. All right, now we've seen what a good defensive coordinator can do. You saw what he did against Mahomes. It was insane what he did against Mahomes. That's a good coordinator.
Yeah.
Aggressive, smart. Gannon never was that. Sirianni is great just being there in front, taking all the questions and acting like, you know, and on the sideline acting like an idiot. That's all he does.
And Angelo Cataldi, his book, Loud, How a Shy Nerd King Nerd in Providence, Rhode Island, and how he became eventually risen to the top of the Philadelphia sports radio scene is available on Amazon and otherwise. All right, so what makes you happiest, Eagles winning or Andy Reid losing, Angelo?
That's why you're the best, because that's the real question. And I can't say it in Philadelphia. Everybody's celebrating right now.
Right.
Andy Reid losing is one of the highlights of my life. And I'm going to be 74 soon. All right? That guy, you want to talk about frauds? Oh, my goodness.
Fraud?
All these ads now, as this funny guy, Fumble Rooski, and the mustache is flying around. Stay with the guy for 5 minutes and see if you laugh once. He's not funny. It's all Madison Avenue. You understand? The guy had 14 tries to win a Super Bowl in Philadelphia and won none. And then Doug Peterson and Nick Sirianni came along and won them both within 5 years. But we've got to bow down to this guy. So when it was 34-0, all I cared about was when they showed the sideline and seeing that guy with his mustache twitching and going, well, I guess they found out I'm not that smart, huh? That's the real Reid. What you saw Sunday, that's the real Andy Reid. We saw him for 14 years.
Oh, that's amazing. No, Angelo gets incredible joy from seeing Andy Reid be bad. And you know what? We had Kurt Warner on yesterday. He thought from the get-go, before the rush started to get there, he thought it was a terrible offensive plan from Reid and Mahomes. That Patrick didn't look good or comfortable at all. And Andy screwed the pooch in this one, according to Kurt Warner.
Well, yeah. The truth of the matter is, I didn't know that there was a plan. What was the plan? Just watch one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen get completely engulfed in rushes the whole game. The Eagles, you got to understand what you saw in that game. The Eagles didn't do that the whole year. They never blitzed one time in the game Sunday. They set four guys in who really, none of them had double-figure sacks for the season, and they completely emasculated the Chiefs front line.
You know what?
What was Reed's plan, Matt? What was it?
Commercials.
Yeah.
State Farm stuff. And was it Wendy's? Is that what he does?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I got to tell you,
anything
though.
Anything that'll pay him.
Angelo, you're right, though, about the personality. Like, you could tell during the commercials that he's really forcing it. And that the non-exuberant sounding Andy Reid was probably after 30 or 40 takes of let's get it to a six here with Andy. So I kind of see where you're coming from on that part. But one thing I want to ask you too, Angelo, you talking about this Super Bowl being the greatest thing that's ever happened to Philadelphia. You guys just won this thing back in 2018. What makes this one feel so much better than the one in 2018, which was the first one since 1980? So I would have thought that would have been a bigger moment for Philadelphia. Yeah.
Well, for Philadelphia, it probably is. I just hate Andy Reid so much that really was more my agenda. No, what happened 7 years ago was, you come from here. It's generational, the love of the Eagles, and grandfathers handed it to fathers, handed it to sons, and there were people on their deathbed 7 years ago hanging on, saying, yes, resuscitate me. I got to see if the Eagles win. And it was so special. It was, they had never won a Super Bowl. It was the 52nd one, and they hadn't won. And so that one was beyond belief. This came a little bit out of nowhere in that they were so bad at the end of last season. They were in free fall that no one thought they would contend this year. They thought this would be a year where they'd build it back up. And this is a great example for Bears fans. You get a GM who just has a phenomenal offseason. Every signing he does, Barkley became better than he ever was with the Giants. Zach Bowen, the linebacker, he was a special teams guy with the Saints. And he came here and he was a Defensive Player of the Year finalist. His draft, he drafted cornerbacks that gave them great coverage, which they hadn't had in years. Everything he did, he picked two coordinators that became great. Sometimes the GM is the biggest star on the team. And for the Eagles this year, it was Howie Roseman.
I love
it. He did all that. He made them what they are.
I love it, Angelo. I think he's the best GM in all of team sports right now. I mean, that's three different Super Bowls in 7 years. He gets to the Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts making $2 million and gets there when he's making $51 million. I mean, it's so difficult to do that, and it's not like Jalen Hurts is Pat Mahomes or even Josh Allen. He's terrific, though, but yeah, it's remarkable. We're the Angelo Cataldi, the longtime radio voice of Philadelphia. Can you hear in my voice just how happy I am? As alluded to in the open, I shed Danny Parkins. He's gone, and it's like, whew, it's remarkable. The spring in my step on the daily. Mark Grody, see it?
Yeah, no, it's crazy, Angelo. Yeah. I mean, the change, you could just see it all over him right now.
Well, Mark, what I'm trying to figure out is why you're not the permanent co-host. You clearly have a lot more knowledge than Danny. Definitely a big step up for the show.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, you're very, very talented.
Thank you, Angelo. For every year that Danny was here, I did bring that to the front office here at the Score, and I was summarily pushed back. I don't know. Danny must have had something on them. That's all I could think of.
He's on national TV, though, now. He's on Breakfast Ball with Craig Carton and Mark Schlereth on the mornings on Fox. I imagine you wake up every morning to watch Breakfast Ball, Angelo.
The odds are 3-1. That's not going to last.
No, I think they're doing well.
That's kind of an inside. I know Craig for many, many years.
Oh, there you go. You got inside info.
Yeah, no.
He's gonna split his eights though. If he splits the eights,
I think. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's a step up for you. Goodbye, Danny. Good riddance.
No, we love him. We love him. He's having a good time.
He's required to say that, by the way. Like, oh, we love him. No, he's that's the best. Right. He was great. We love Danny.
Surviving. Surviving. No, Angelo, I saw this yesterday that 22.6 million Americans were planning to be absent from work on Monday after the Super Bowl, and it's going to break the record from 2 years ago. So Philly, 2 years in a row, two Super Bowls in a row. I don't know what happened last year, but Philly wasn't involved. Is there something about Philadelphians that takes the opportunity not to go to work more than other towns in America?
This is, we don't take days anymore. We take weeks. All right. Like Monday, nobody went to work. Are you kidding? They were still up on the top of poles all over the city. They were climbing the telephone poles. All right. And Friday was just declared a Philadelphia holiday. They're shutting everything down for the parade.
Hell yeah.
Today, it's supposed to snow, and that's going to shoot down all schools and stuff for tomorrow. No one's working the whole week in Philly. If the country is depending on Philadelphia to produce anything this week, it's not going to happen, all right? Because these people are all, and most of them have been over the legal limit for drunkenness the whole time.
Yeah. Since Sunday. It's a hell of a binge. I wonder if there's any coaches or players that are – because, you know, Theo Epstein, after the Cubs won in 2016, he said he was just going to go drinking every day. Maybe Sirianni, you know? I mean, maybe he's out doing it.
Well,
yeah.
It's not like it would make him any dumber.
It's amazing. They go from – was Peterson an idiot too? Like, they've got
– No.
So he wasn't.
Peterson, my favorite guy. Don't do that to Peterson. He's a one guy in all the years. I did 33 years of sports talk. The only guy, manager or coach we ever had on, you'd ask him a question, he'd give you an honest answer.
Oh.
He actually would honestly. And sometimes he would get in trouble for doing it, but he would do it. He had that kind of respect for the people that were listening, for the fans in the city. And no one else did it like Doug. Doug is closest to my heart, and I feel so bad that he went to Jacksonville and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But no, he's my all-time favorite. Great, great guy.
What about Rich Kotite? How was he?
Rich Kotite. You know what? Until Sirianni came along, I always thought he was the dumbest coach.
I knew it.
And now it appears that that Kotite is, because at least Sirianni won a championship. What a Kotite win.
And now, I mean, like, how'd you do that, dude?
Maybe one of the biggest takeaways from this is, like, you can win a Super Bowl with a dumb coach, according to Angelo. Yeah. So Bears should have kept Eberflus then.
We should do a dumb coach wins championship segment. Who was the Royals head coach? Ned Yost.
Oh, boy.
He was kind of a dummy, right?
You know, you're right.
Yeah, see?
It does happen.
Yeah,
it
let's do this, Angelo.
Happen.
It happens.
That's a good topic, actually.
Thank you.
You're right.
You don't need it. You don't need a topic. You're not doing shows every morning.
Well, you gotta have
anymore.
A topic every once in a while.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself doing topics at breakfast with your pals? You know, like what's life without a show like for you now these days?
Well, I don't have any pals, so I basically do it with my dog Bentley, and you know, I get similar reaction to what I got when I was on the air. Heavy breathing, some drooling. you know what? I got to tell you, if you wait as long as I did, you're past 70 when you retire. You don't have any regrets. I'm thrilled that I don't have to do a show. Even this week, I just, you know, like, it's...
That's good.
Very Switzer.
You do it, and then you're done. When I wrote that book, that was like I was going, all right, that's done. And I wrote the book, and it was done. It was published from a Chicago publishing house, Triumph, which I really liked. And that was it. And now I just play with my grandkids and do very little of anything of any value other than, you know, being a family guy. And I used to always make fun of people that retired and went, I want to spend more time with my family. And I would always go, look, I've met you. I'm not sure your family wants any more time with you.
I love that. I remember when Pat Riley took over for Stan Van Gundy with the Heat. The story was that Stan wanted to spend more time with his family, but everybody knew that was crap because Pat was taking over. So every time a coach gets like forced out, I always say that he wanted to spend more time with Stan Van Gundy's family. You know, and it's a joke. It's just for me. You know,
that's for all of us now. We gave
now
you
it's for all
yeah,
of
now
us.
It's for all three
oh,
of us.
That's too bad.
Angelo, what about Barry Switzer? You think that's a dumb coach that won a title with the
good.
Dallas Cowboys?
That's good.
Yes. See?
Perfect example.
See?
Perfect example.
You want to fill in this week? You want to come back on the show tomorrow?
No.
We got topics, buddy.
No, your ratings will definitely go down. You don't want me.
Well,
you got a mark now. You're in good shape.
Okay. Now, you're right. Spiegel is the best. He wears the crown in these hallways, yeah. Angelo. He does.
Finally.
He does.
Finally, you know,
he's great. Matt, you're great. I mean it.
Oh, Angelo, you're the best. Yeah, you hang around long enough, eventually they just let you keep going. I learned it from the Cataldi playbook.
I learned it from you.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I did have pictures of a couple of the executives.
It always helps. That's why I say it always helps. I always tell kids, young broadcasters, have a photo or two in your shoe, always.
Absolutely. Thank you, Angelo. You're the best. Nice to catch up, man.
See you, Angelo.
See you, Chicago Buckeyes. See you later.
Angelo Cataldi.
I like Angelo Cataldi.
Oh, come on. He's so fun. And he was so good at the job, and he could still be good, but he's not doing it, and he's happy not to do it.
Oh, yes.
I like the topic. He gave us a topic. Feel free to text him in.
Yeah. I came up with the topic.
Easy on Ned Yost, by the way. He was not dumb.
Really?
And he's a good dude.
Well, okay.
He did a great hit on this show talking about...
He did.
He was
Pedro,
great.
Right?
Was he talking about Dale Swaim and their drink?
Yeah, he
together.
Was so smart. He was talking about how great the next White Sox manager was going to be. And that was indeed Pedro Grifol.
Yeah. I put him on to talk about Pedro.
Oh, well, and also, God, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Ned Yost is in the news. He is back with the Kansas City Royals in a new job, a senior advisor to the general manager. So Ned Yost back in the news with the Royals. Let's get him on and tell him we don't think he's a dumb manager.
No, he was. And
people
he
laugh
wins.
At that.
No, he's laughing at us. That's what I'm saying. The whole point of this topic is they're dumb people who won titles. The joke is on us. The joke is on smart people. That's it?
The perceived smart people.
Yeah, I'm not putting myself in that category. I'm saying other managers.
Tanny, you agree with the texter who says that Angelo sounds like Mo Green from the Godfather movies?
You don't go to Philadelphia and talk to a man like that.
That's a pretty good call, actually.
Can you imagine him hanging out with... I wanted to explore the Vic Fangio further, but I feel like Angelo Cataldi and Vic Fangio hanging out, having a cup of coffee be a something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like those two, straight shooters, a couple of paisans.
Yeah.
I love it.
Don't send that clip to Danny, Shane. All right, it's...
that was... Wow.
He's probably listening, dude.
I was like, are we going back to the Danny Stick, and he took it to another level.
I knew that was
another
coming.
Level.
I wonder if he actually dislikes Danny.
No! He just picks and chooses. That's the thing. Angelo's so good at playing the game. He preyed on Mark.
He did, in a loving way.
He found Grody, and he made Grody the hero, and all. I was going to end up the bad guy if that segment kept going.
But I kind of disagree, because in what I've heard of Angelo Cataldi, he loves everybody, except so far for Danny. How much does he love Marshall Harris?
He adores Marshall Harris. Yeah.
Clearly, he and I seem to hit it off.
Yeah.
I think he liked me. He thinks you're the king of sports talk radio, which you kind of are.
But that's why he was hating on Danny. He just wanted to have my back for fun. He just chose that.
Yeah, I guess so.
And Danny,
I prefer
and Danny
to think
guy.
It was real, but nobody else does. So.
We turned a light on. 670, the score is where you are. He's Mark Grody. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Lawrence on vacation. Mark is here. Let's follow up on some media chatter about that Super Bowl broadcast. I was talking a lot about Tom Brady, and I can do so again, but there's some inside knowledge of how the analysts at Fox are trained. We'll bring that to you next on The Score.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Richard Deitch from The Athletic.
I just want to say, it's always great to be on Chicago. If not the current city I'm in now, or New York, it is my favorite city.
I mean, this is very much some Mick Foley type stuff that you're doing right now, Richard. This is the greatest city, Chicago, Illinois.
I just gave myself some cheap heat. Thank you, guys. Be well. Chicago's the best.
The city is Chicago.
Afternoons on The Score.
Look, he knows it ain't over till it's over, especially with number 15 on that opposing sideline.
Tom Brady from the Fox broadcast. Spiegel and Holmes here. Mark Grote filling in for Lawrence. So, Grotes, I don't know if you heard yesterday or if some of the listeners now didn't hear me yesterday, but I thought Tom Brady was absolutely terrible. Thought he was really boring. Like, probably the worst Super Bowl color analyst I've heard. It just didn't, he didn't do anything. Didn't tell me anything. Didn't teach me anything. And I thought he was remarkably non-critical of Patrick Mahomes, who played one of the worst games of his career. I thought Brady was a guy who came into the game ready to praise Patrick and deal with it as, I am now passed as a GOAT, and it didn't happen at all, and he never pivoted to the game he was actually watching.
Overcompensation, and we see it all the time, I feel like, with superstar players who are calling a game for or playing big brother to or mentor to an interview in the young star. So to me, I don't know why everybody, like, of course Tom Brady is going to be like that. It is a kind of a thin ice area for Tom Brady, because if he does go critical on Patrick Mahomes, then that's what gets back to Patrick Mahomes, and it could hurt his relationship there. So I don't know. I do feel like, just because he's so recently removed, Tom Brady is still in that difficult place where it's going to be hard for him to be critical, let alone the guy that is creating this mess of might be the next GOAT,
which will
be put off for a little while.
It's a big ask, but that's the ask. That's the ask. Don't make him the guy if you don't think he can do it. Somebody had texted yesterday and said, maybe this is how Brady learns that he's not just great at everything he tries to do.
Why do we expect that he would be great in his first year of doing this?
But he might think he would be. He might think he would be, and he wasn't.
But my issue with the critiques about Tom Brady, the broadcaster, is that people have decided that's it. He sucks. He's out. He should not be doing this gig. And I get it. I mean, been paid a lot of money. It's a big boy job. It is the game. He is the broadcaster on that network. Uh-huh. So he probably should be good. But the idea that Tom Brady couldn't be really good at this in a couple of years is kind of baffling to me.
Well, you don't learn as the number one, damn it. I don't know that you should. But I mean, you know, it's interesting. Here's a moment of Brady on Mahomes. They were down 34-0 at this point. He says Pat won't flinch.
What's Mahomes feeling right now, frustration-wise? I mean, this guy's never been shut out through three quarters of a football game.
Yeah, no doubt. It's certainly frustrating because he doesn't feel like he can drop back with any level of comfort and read things out the way he typically would. But, again, I just don't think he's a guy that blinks in these moments, and I don't care if you're down 34-0.
Yeah, no, I care if you're down 34-0. Game is basically over.
Yeah.
And he had missed an opportunity in all three quarters to really tell us, you know, what was happening. He looked at Mahomes' feet and said he was rattled by the rush. But Kurt Warner said with us yesterday, the problems were even before that. Like, you could tell right away that Pat Mahomes was not comfortable for whatever reason.
Yeah, he was off, and it's shocking to the viewer, to those of us watching. So, yeah.
It was a jarring experience as a viewer. You haven't talked much about it. Like, didn't you find yourself like, oh my God, this is actually happening?
Exactly. Like, really. Like, there's no coming. The better football team from the first quarter of that game, the dominant team, was the Philadelphia Eagles. I was watching with a couple of friends, and I looked at one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. I mean, because we haven't really talked at all. We're, like, really into the game. And I looked over, and I was like, holy cow, like Philadelphia is just dominating this game. And it was after the, I think it was a 50-yard field goal after the kicker had made it, but then a timeout had been called and then had to re-kick it. It was a 50-yard field goal.
Yeah, Jake Elliott.
Jake Elliott, that would have gone, as I think it was, maybe it was Tom Brady that said it, with Burkhart, that said that kick would have gone if it was 70 yards. It was at that moment I'm like, holy, they are dominating everything. And for me, it was like, I don't think anybody else is analyzing this right now, but for me, it was a field goal kick.
Yeah,
that was the message in my head. Oh my God, they are kicking their asses
in every facet,
defensively, offensively, kicking game. Like there is no stopping the Eagles. And yeah, when you came to that moment in the Super Bowl, you're like, holy cow, the Eagles are going to win this thing. You're blown away.
Dave Wannstedt was on the morning show with Mully and Haw today and talked about Brady and let people in on how Fox advises their game analysts.
Yeah, you know, he is so intense. It's funny you bring that up, because I was talking to some people yesterday about that, and I said, you know, just from knowing Tom as the best player ever, okay, put him in that category, arguably, and knowing people with Tampa Bay very close when he was at the Bucs, you know, when I took the job at Fox, think about this. They called me in and they said, Coach, this, we got a game plan here, and it was really put together by John Madden. And it says this: when you're on TV, we don't really care about the 10% of the expert football geniuses, and we don't overly get concerned with the 10% that are watching the game just because they have to, because of spouses or whatever. We want that 80% in the middle that when your show is over, they say, boy, I'd love to have a beer with him and watch a game with him. That's the audience that we're after. Hmm. And so whenever I listen to these announcers, I always put them in that category. And sometimes with Tom, you know, he probably gets so intense and so focused from his playing days that, that he probably, it comes off that way. As compared to, I think Greg Olsen's kind of a, you know, roll up your sleeves guy, have a beer and talk about the game type of guy. You know, it just seems a little difference in their presentation.
That's kind of like you, Dave. People want to have a beer with you.
Yes. Well, you know what? I think that's why I've survived, you know? They don't listen to what I say. They don't care what I say. They just want to have a beer.
You know, you guys, he needs to start drinking in the morning. That's what I just figured.
Oh, that's why afternoon Wani is superior to morning Wani, I've always thought.
Oh, radio war.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that what you're starting up here? Let's get Angelo back on the horn. Yeah.
I love morning Wani.
That's also a David Haw thing. He's not that welcoming.
You don't think Haw is welcoming?
No, I don't think so. I always get a weird vibe.
No, I think he is. But, you know, he does break news on that show, which is like the one thing, that issue I have with him being on that show as opposed to ours. You know, I do love him with us. But Shane, wake up for this one. He did break some news today on Mully and Haw.
Yeah. What? I was texting with Terry the day before the Super Bowl, Bradshaw, because I saw an ad. It said something about order your Bradshaw bourbon. So I shot him a text. I said, hey, what's up? And he texted me back the morning of the Super Bowl, Coach, we're back in business. So it sounds like Bradshaw bourbon's back. So here we go.
That's good news.
That's excellent.
Yeah. that's real good news.
It's good news for Dave because he gets free bourbon. It's bad news for everybody else because it's bad bourbon.
Yeah, it's great news for anyone who really likes bad bourbon.
Did he go out of order for a while or something?
Yeah.
Dave did break that on our show, I think. I think Dave did.
That it was back?
No. That he was going out of business.
He broke that on our show.
Yes. Because it's bad?
Yeah. But now it's back in business.
Yeah, I mean, the bourbon, the rye was really good. He only brought us rye one time.
Shane, the rye
was awesome. The bourbon sucks.
I think, as always, you have undersold the appetite, America's appetite for bad bourbon.
Yeah, I do that often.
There's a lot of people out there who really love bad bourbon.
Well, there wasn't for a little while, and that's why it went out of business, but they're back.
It might not have been commerce-related that it went out of business. You know how it works with these guys, these celebrity bourbons and such?
Oh, yeah.
I lost my guy. I don't have a guy who can make it for me anymore. And then somebody new shows up, and all of a sudden he's back in business.
It's a good one on Twitch. Good news for people that like bad news.
And so it's bad news that the bad bourbon, I don't know if it's bad news. I mean, it's always good to have more bad bourbon options.
Not when it's $50, dude.
That's a fair
point.
Yeah,
that does seem pretty ridiculous. By the way, does Greg Olson strike you as a guy you'd want to have a beer with watching the games? No.
Sure.
And that's not a shot either.
But he rolls up his sleeves, though.
Oh, like literally rolls up his sleeves. No, because Greg Olson, the analysis is really good. The insight is really good. There's no part of him that's going, oh, yeah, that's great stuff. Let's go slam a beer. You know, it's like just more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Kind of in that same light, I meant to say this yesterday, but it slipped my mind. I don't think Kevin Burkhart's good.
Yeah, there's some people who don't love Burkhart. I tell you what, their atmosphere is weird. The whole thing is weird, and I'll tell you why. Because they, the producer and Burkhart, kind of crafted Greg Olson into the broadcaster he was. And now they've clearly been tasked with crafting Tom Brady into the broadcaster he is. So, like, the entire thing feels like one big setup trying to make Brady great. When he's not great, the whole thing seems bad.
And I promise that's got nothing to do with him never texting me back one time. I just think he's bad at the job.
Incredibly biased, but I would love to hear Adam Amin with Tom Brady.
Oh, my God.
In terms of setting him up.
He's like, going to be the number one eventually.
Adam is so good at setting up his partners in that regard. Like, I would love to hear that.
How about Adam Amin with Greg Olson, then? That's it. Is that what you just said, or did you say Tom?
No, either. Yeah. Okay. But I would love to hear Tom with someone else to hear if it's any different.
You. If he brings it out of him.
Yeah, it's a good off-season activity.
I'm going to call Kevin right now, see if he picks up.
Yeah,
we could ask him why he's bad at his job.
Kevin, why are you so bad?
I think he's good. He just has not gotten to that line of Joe Buck or any of the of Mike Tirico, of any of the national guys. He doesn't have quite that cachet.
You know, it's great.
So I think he's good, though.
Anytime Joe Buck's on the TV, I turn the sound off.
Thank you. George McCaskey has entered the room.
Turn the sound off.
Tirico's great. Like, let's be honest.
I'm so glad you said that because it took me a long time.
Oh, no, he's truly great. He knows the rules.
He's
cold.
Smooth.
And he's crazy smooth.
It really, I mean, he's got the right amount of enthusiasm. And I used to, I think the reason was.
I like him better than I used to.
It took me years to, come to that conclusion. Like, oh, my God. Like, and it might have happened this year, actually, Speaks. That was like, Tirico is really good. And the problem is that we all saw him coming up as a SportsCenter anchor. So it was hard for us.
We didn't believe him.
At least this is me talking. Like,
sure.
He wasn't believable as a play-by-play guy.
It's like when I do fifth innings. You know, people are like, it's just a freaking talk show.
Every year they believe a little bit more, though, Spiegel. That's what I've been told. We're not there yet, but we believe a little bit more.
One more thing from Dave Wanstead, who thinks that Jimmy Johnson, his good pal, is actually going to retire.
I'm going down there next week. For a couple of days down to the Keys next week, a couple of Troy's flying in, Tony Wise is going to come in. So we're going to get together with the little inner circle deal we do usually every year next week. But it does, and I think he's real close. You know, he's basically working when he wants to now. You know, he goes out there, and this year with the Super Bowl, I know that was something that he wanted to kind of do. So it wouldn't surprise me. If he just did a few shows, it wouldn't surprise me if he hung up, you know, and just said enough's enough. So
Dave Wanstead thinks that Jimmy Johnson will retire. Top of the hour, Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times and all the tangential Bears factors from the Super Bowl 440. John Morosi from MLB Network on Cubs Intrigue, Alex Bregman Truths, and more. And then 5 o'clock, some other stuff we want to talk about, the North. But next, Mark Grody wants to talk about Jesus. That's coming up on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
I called them the khaki pants of The Score. Versatile, valuable, wrinkle-free.
That's you? Wrinkle-free. I like it. Versatile and valuable, Mark Grody.
Oh, you like that Haw calls me khaki pants?
Sure.
Oh, you like that? No, I prefer the Ben Zobrist of The Score. I've always preferred that.
Yeah, that's good.
Haw and I have gone back and forth on this many times. He means it very well. It's very Haw. It's very nice of him.
I called him the khaki pants of The Score.
And he means
versatile,
it.
Valuable, wrinkle-free.
The Ben Zobrist of The Score is better. I used to be, when I was at Sporting News Radio, I used to refer to myself as the one-man bullpen by committee. And I would come in the helmet cart. you know, yes. for whatever show needed me.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I like you. The Ben Zobrist of the score.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a fitting segue, don't you think? Because Ben Zobrist, big fan of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark Grody.
Look at you.
You said you wanted to talk about Jesus.
I do. Yeah. I just wanted to say, I've been wanting to say this for some time, and there was another Jesus commercial during the Super Bowl this year. I think it's selling Jesus, and you could take Jesus wherever you want, but I got to tell you, I really like the Jesus commercials.
Come on, dude.
They make me feel good. Honestly, whenever they come on, I don't know what they are. I don't know. And then I'm like, oh, it's Jesus. Okay. I see you, Jesus. You know? And I'm like, he comes across, and I've been burned, he comes across as a great guy. Like Jesus does. I mean, this is what it is showing us in these commercials.
He's widely thought to have been a great guy.
He is widely thought to have, but no, seriously, they are really well presented commercials that make me feel good. From the Shane is, are you the devil? Are you Satan or something?
Whoa.
Why do you hate Jesus?
I don't
What's
hate
going on?
Jesus. I'm not really a believer, but I don't hate him.
Escalating.
I think he's a perfectly good fictional character.
Oh boy.
I had no desire to go down that train right there.
Okay.
What I'm saying is
go down your own train, Mark.
I have no desire to go down that train either. No, whatever the hell that
Mark,
means.
You were
cooking, Mark. You were cooking.
Yeah, you were cooking.
You were talking about how the commercial makes you feel something, which is ultimately the point of all of these.
Right. So right. I don't know if Jesus is that great, but I think it's time that somebody's... These commercials are really nice.
Okay.
They're really nice commercials.
Sure. Do you feel like Shane is kind of shaking his hand at God as he...
Yeah, are you angry?
Or not at God, but...
Are you angry at God?
Maybe at Jesus.
No. Okay.
No,
I'm a confirmed man, and I was the valedictorian of my confirmation class. I gave a speech at the confirmation service.
Let me say, for myself, I have not confirmed that you are a man. It remains, from my perspective.
Come on in here, buddy.
No, I'm good.
5 o'clock hour.
It remains unconfirmed from my perspective.
I'll show you my penis.
No! See, that's...
Now that's inappropriate in a Jesus conversation.
Oh, yeah, wrong segment.
Here's the thing. My wife has recently acquired a big bag of tiny little Jesuses, okay? And she loves to spread what she feels, her version of Jesus.
Of the Lord.
Love.
Yes.
Love. Just it means love to her. That's what it means. It means love and peace to her.
Wow.
So she leaves them in places. Like, she'll leave them in an airport bathroom.
Virgin.
You know? Yeah. But anyway, it makes her happy to spread the love. That's all she's doing.
Yeah.
And they're tiny. They're adorable.
Yeah.
And she's got a big bag of them.
That's what it feels like.
And that's some people get very caught up in like, well, this means you are not that and you are not that. She believe me, she lives with a Jew. She's like super supportive and loving
of me. Well, let's not get personal here. Okay?
Yeah. Wait a minute. You're a Jew?
Yeah, dude. You're fine.
We're raising
we have a Jew on the show? No. This industry?
We're raising a boy who's going to get bar mitzvah.
Oh, really?
But who knows?
Because the wife decides, right? Usually,
the mother. But in this case, the father decides. But either way, it's like this is a boy who's growing up in a house where his mama loves Jesus.
Yeah,
and his father is a proud Jew.
Okay,
well, can't we all get along? The answer is yes.
Yeah, you love Jesus.
No, just those two groups.
Yeah,
no, we can.
Why don't you believe that Jesus was the Son of Man?
See, that's not what you're saying.
But what I am saying is that the commercials are beautifully produced. Like, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's like some sort of like national park commercial before I realize it's about Jesus. And I'm like, they're just so comforting.
Just to clarify, these are the He Gets Us spots,
he
right?
He Gets Us. Yeah. Thank you, Tanny.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of texters giving various levels of intel about the company behind the spots and stuff. But to be clear, all Grody is talking about is his experience as a television viewer feeling the commercial.
Well, we're talking
over
about
him.
The production value, not your belief in Jesus.
Right. Let me make that very clear. Yeah. Yes.
And I want to add that I think generally the companies that produce those commercials during the Super Bowl don't want to harm us, generally.
Generally, that's incorrect, actually.
Oh, okay. They want what's best for us all the time.
No, I just, like, Spiegel said it perfectly.
Right.
I'm in a good, when I'm watching those, I feel comforted.
I know.
I do. And I'm not telling anybody that they have to like Jesus.
Let me tell, it's similar to the way that I I feel when I see a Pringles commercial. Oh. You know, I feel very comforted.
Once you pop, you can't stop kind of thing going on there.
See mustaches flying all over the world.
Mark, how uncomfortable is the rest of your life that you need the Jesus production value on the commercials to make you feel good?
It's just that moment. I don't need it. But when it comes forth, I'm always pleasantly surprised by it. That's what it is. And that's what, like, every time they fool me, I'm like, what is this delight that is happening? Why am I feeling this warmth overcome me? Oh, it's he gets us. Mm. I just think that they're well done.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
Noted.
Like, I'm a Catholic, so it's not like this is new, like I've been converted or I've been moved to be more religious. I just enjoy the moment of the commercial.
Sure. You know, this has been dangerously close to controversial religion talk, but I think
absolutely.
We've survived.
I have not looked at the text lines.
I mean, there's only a few seconds left for one of us to say something.
There's always time, Shane.
I already said I'll show you my penis.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I said that in this segment.
Yeah. You did. I'm sure there's some angry listeners right now, maybe related to some.
I have a thought on Judaism as a Jew, but I'm going to hold it back.
I think that the opinion that I just gave was perfect because it wasn't religious. It was just how I felt during the commercial, and maybe other people felt that way. Maybe I've saved somebody today.
Matt, not say Jew holiday.
I won't, but he was an important part of those Milwaukee Bucks championship teams. It's Spiegs and Mark Grody right here on the Score. Jason Leisure, the Sun-Times, joins us next for Bears thoughts that are tangential to the Super Bowl. We'll do that next on the Score.